Hey, everybody, I'm Becky Davidson, and I want to welcome you to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. In today's episode, I am going to introduce you to my friend Heidi Clopton. And Heidi has been a part of our family story back from the very beginning of when we started this journey as special needs parents. She was actually John Alex's very first occupational therapist back when he was about a year old. And our stories have been intertwined ever since. She and her husband were one of the founding families of Rising Above. They helped Jeff and I start Rising Above back in 2005 and have been just such an important part of this ministry. She has such a heart for loving and helping special needs children through her work as an occupational therapist, and I just love hearing her talk about her passion and about her love for helping families and helping children be able to do all that they can do. I hope that you'll stay tuned to the very end where she shares her heart, the one thing that she wants special needs parents to know as they start to navigate this journey. You're going to love what she has to say, and you're going to love hearing her heart behind why she does what she does. And so here's my friend, Heidi Clopton. Heidi, I'm so glad you are sitting across the table from me today and that we're getting to talk a little bit about you and our relationship and how we met and what you do.
Absolutely. This is fabulous.
So I was thinking back as we were getting ready for this podcast about when we first met. And it's been a long time now.
Over 20 years,
I believe. Yeah. Well, yeah. John Alex just turned 22. And I don't think he was even a year old yet. I think we had just started. He may have been a little over a year old,
right.
But we had just started discovering his special needs and started therapy, and I can still see us. He is in his little Johnny Jump-Up thing that he loved, and here comes this young, cute, little blonde-head girl at the door, because at that point, you looked, you know, you were so much younger. You had to have been how old?
I was probably 23.
23. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There at the door, and I, you know, we had the glass door, and I could see you, and you came in, and that was my introduction to you as a therapist, and, you know, it was just such a neat thing. You just became a part of our family, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, but tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, about your business and your family.
Okay. Well, I'm Heidi Clopton. I'm a pediatric occupational therapist. I have never treated adults and have no desire to. I love kids too much. And so we have Center of Development and Center of Vision. My husband is an optometrist, eye doctor, and specializes in special needs as well. And so we have a practice in Cookeville. We have all the therapies you could need for your child going on, OT, PT, speech, feeding therapy. We have behavior therapy in-house. And then my husband does vision therapy and comprehensive vision exams. And I have four children, three still at home. One is a senior this year, Ella Grace. Leah is a sophomore, and Jace is in sixth grade. So we're busy.
You said four.
So. Yes, and Casey is in Chattanooga and has her own life and is married there.
So you know, like I said, we've known each other. I knew you. You were young, right, fresh out of school.
Absolutely. I think probably, it's my second year.
Probably newlywed, and I hadn't been married too long. No kids other than Casey.
Right.
And so I've kind of, we've done life together for quite a long time.
Yes.
And so, like, I've known, was there even a part when one of your, not actually there with you when Leah was born, but I took care of Ella when Leah was born. And it's just kind of neat how, that in those early years, you know, I remember you coming in, you're the therapist, I'm the mom, I'm dealing with all of this newness. I had no idea what OT was and PT, and all of a sudden within just a couple of months, we have all these therapies
that
going.
Was our whole world.
That was our whole world. Yeah. And, you know, back then, things were set up a little different in that all of the, every therapy he had was in-home.
Right. And now it's a little bit different. TIS is the three and under system in the state of Tennessee. There are some therapists that are in home still, but most of it, I would say, in Cookeville is clinic-based.
Yeah.
And so it is harder for some families because they have to drive to therapy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some families prefer in-home in that environment, and it just kind of depends.
It depends on your situation. Mm-hmm. Well, and mm-hmm. for us, I mean, I think the in-home worked well with John Alex mm-hmm. and all his sensory needs.
Absolutely.
And all of that. And we, mm-hmm. you know, we were able to set up his own therapy
exactly.
room.
Exactly.
You know,
fabulous.
We had a fabulous therapy room at
yes.
home. But as a mom, mm-hmm. It was very isolating for
right.
me.
Because right.
when, you know, my friends would be out having play dates or going
right.
to do things, we every day there was a therapist coming
exactly.
to my house.
Right.
And what happened, though, on the flip side of that that was so good mm-hmm. is every one of his therapists became a friend of mine.
Right.
I mean, I still consider friends
absolutely.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
And so as hard as that was, being a young mom, dealing with all of that and having to just this, your whole world turned upside down, it was sweet that we were, though,
mm-hmm.
able to develop that friendship. Now, mm-hmm. I found a journal
mm-hmm.
recently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a journaler. I'm one of these people who will start and write a couple of pages in the journal, and then it, you know,
right.
that's all I get in
right.
a year, you know. But I did, there was a season where I actually did write
wow.
in a journal for a year, and it was when John Alex was little, and
aww.
It was when all of you and Marcia and Renee and others were coming in, Janet coming in
mm-hmm.
and doing vision with him, and I, just reading young Becky,
mm-hmm.
the interaction and kind of what I thought about you guys
yeah.
and what, you know, some days it would be like, she made him do this and he cried,
oh,
you know,
yes.
yeah. and then other days it was like, you know, I read something, it was like, so, somebody was so proud
right.
of what he, you know,
right.
what he had accomplished and,
right.
and just, so it was so sweet for me to have that,
mm-hmm.
to look back, to remember.
And I think sometimes it's important to know, because you don't know what to expect out of your child when
right.
you have a child of special
right.
needs, because there is no manual of this is what they're going to do in a month's time, because every child is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good when the therapists are happy, you need to celebrate.
That's
a good clue. That's
a good clue.
Because we know what's big,
yeah.
you know, for that
yeah.
child. And they may be lifting their head off the ground when
right.
they're on their belly.
Yeah.
You know, it may be, you know, for the first time using
that's
their
huge.
Fingertips instead
mm-hmm.
of their whole hand.
Mm-hmm.
But when we celebrate, you go home and
celebrate too. Well, so how did you decide, you know, what's the heart behind you being a therapist? What was the catalyst that made you want to be an occupational therapist?
So my dad had two massive strokes when I was 5 years old. And so I remember the ambulance coming and taking him away. We had no money. He was a construction worker. And so we had no health insurance, no
mm-hmm.
money. And I saw what my mom went through and how hard it was. And it was the therapist that came in the home
mm.
that became her community.
Wow.
And they gave her free equipment. And I think some of them even did therapy without charging.
Mm-hmm.
And they at 5 years old, I picked up on how important those people were in
wow.
her life at that time. And then, of course, growing up with a dad who was left, he was left aphasic, meaning he couldn't speak. He had to write down everything on note cards.
Wow.
His whole right side of his body was paralyzed from then on. And but, you know, so I always had a heart for people with
mm-hmm.
special needs.
Mm-hmm.
He was an adult with special needs, but it's too close to home. I can't do adults now because I start bawling crying when
gotcha.
I see someone with a stroke.
Yeah.
And so I was drawn to children, and I'll never look back. It's
yeah.
the best decision I ever made to work with kids. So.
Well, we're thankful that you made that decision
yes.
because you've not only, you know, you've worked with John Alex over the years and then with countless other families here in the community. And
it's the best job ever.
Yeah, you and Jason both are just great at loving on the special needs community. So if a parent has a child, they don't have a diagnosis
mm-hmm.
yet, say,
mm-hmm.
but they're like going, okay, something's not right.
right.
A lot
mm-hmm.
of times we see it happening if a parent, if they've had a child previously and they're
mm-hmm.
like, they're comparing
sure.
that child. But if a parent's like, I'm questioning whether
mm-hmm.
something is not right here,
mm-hmm.
what should they do?
I say push your pediatrician for a referral. Because the best thing you can do is find out if there is something that can help them. Sometimes it's just a couple of months delay, which will work itself out with the right kind of intervention. The most important thing, though, is to get answers, and I feel like you don't need to stay in that place of, is there something wrong or not? Seek. There are evaluations that tell you, they're standardized, what, you know, is normal and what's not, and therapists with experience will be able to say, this is going to work itself out in a couple of months if you do X, Y, and Z, or, you know, you may need a referral to a neurologist or an autism specialist or someone else past that.
So the initial referral would be like referring to an OT,
yes,
right?
Don't be afraid to go ahead and go to OT, PT, speech, whatever the main issue is. Get an evaluation. A lot of people think they have to have the diagnosis
first. That's what I was wondering. I was wondering if you had to go, like, go to a therapist, like, I mean, to a, up to Vanderbilt or somewhere like that to get a diagnosis, but you don't.
No.
Okay.
Just developmental delay up until a child, I think it's 7 years old on insurance. Most insurances you can bill under developmental delay, especially all the 10 care insurances. And then we can bill for something like fine motor delay, muscle weakness. There's all these other things we can bill under until they get that official diagnosis of something else.
Okay, so that's good to know, because a lot of parents may be thinking, oh, well, I'm going to have to go do this huge evaluation.
No, and then
I'm not ready for that.
You're going to have to wait a year to get into Vanderbilt, and that's a year of time that should be in therapy.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So go to your, if you have any concerns, go to your pediatrician.
Ask for a referral to a therapist
to an OT, PT, just to see, well, depending on whatever the issue is that they're dealing with.
And the pediatrician should be able to help you do that, and I'd be happy to answer any questions if anyone wants to know which therapy is best.
Okay. So if, you know, when you've dealt with parents for years now, and so what do you see is one of the biggest struggles that newly diagnosed parents deal with? What is something that you've seen over and over again?
First is acceptance.
Yeah.
Because once you accept, you need a plan of action as to what to
do. And that's acceptance. That's a tough one.
It is. And so having that plan of action, because you don't know how to treat something unless you know exactly what you're treating.
Yeah.
So getting to a place of acceptance, but also having a team. That may be your husband if you're married, coming together as a team. And one of the best books to tell you how to do that is Common Man, Extraordinary Call.
Nice little plug there for our book. Thank you.
Which beautifully helps, you know, how do you do this? How do you handle this? How do you become a team with your spouse or a team with your mother-in-law or whoever is helping you?
And you just don't know.
Getting your community together. But not ignoring it, you know, doing what you need to do and having a plan of action. Some parents just don't get involved right away, I guess is the best way to put it. And they don't ask questions, and they just kind of come and go and let other people tell them, you know, kind of what to do. And sometimes I think you need your own plan of action in your own family as to how we're going to deal with this.
Yeah. And so you help parents along that way of knowing, okay, this is the path to take. This is what you need to do. And I'm sure in the situations where you've seen the mom and the dad come together and try to do it together, you see much better results.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you need the team approach.
Yeah.
And that is so important in going and being around other special needs families, coming to Rising Above events, finding a support group is so huge in that, because then you don't feel like you're doing it
alone. Yeah. And it's overwhelming. I remember so vividly those early years of just, you don't even know which end is up, because everything you thought your life was going to look like, you're dealing with the fact that it's not. And it affects, you know, financially, it affects you, it affects your marriage, it affects your extended family. And so then learning how to navigate all that. So when you can come alongside a therapist like you, who truly, you don't care, I mean, just about the therapy is important, but you're looking at the bigger picture.
Absolutely. How is this family health? How is everyone in the family
dealing with this?
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's a beautiful thing. Not all therapists are like that, I know.
True.
But I know you are, and that it's a much bigger, it's a more holistic approach to it than just, here, come do this exercise, or do this five times a day, or whatever, you know.
And we're here to not just do therapy once a week and treat your child. We're here to treat the family as a whole and say, okay, how can you fit these activities into your daily routine? we want you to have a calm child as much as possible and, and come up with ideas so that everyone knows what to do when that child is upset, when that child is having a tantrum, when their sensory system is overwhelmed, or, you know, even just their everyday exercises. How can the whole family help fit that into everyday life? Because I have a mantra of, you know, therapy happens every day. It shouldn't just happen one time a week in a clinic. You know, it needs to happen every day as much as possible. And be fun and be something, you know, you enjoy doing with your child.
Swinging. That's for us. I mean, we still, to this day, John Alex has a swing in his room. And no telling how many times today already he swung, you know. And that's just
special bonding time.
Absolutely. You know? And it was for he and his dad, you know.
Absolutely.
And so, but I think that's the beautiful point right there that you can make if you don't look at it as therapy, if you look at it, that became that became father-son time between Jeff and John Alex. That was special quality time that they had together, because I think a lot of times dads, it's harder for them to know exactly how do I view you, you can't, you know and how do I engage. And so getting the dad involved in those sensory type activities. Absolutely. What a great way.
Absolutely. All the deep pressure touch, all the brushing, all the, you know, everything that we do from even not just OT, but, you know, PT, you're touching the child, you're, you know, doing exercises, speech, you're engaging with the child face to face. You know, you have to see that as your new quality time and love language and, to that child.
Yeah. And that's what, that's what was so neat to see Jeff when he finally got that. And that just became their thing, you know, to be able to do that. So, well, I want to talk just briefly about special diets and how you've seen that play into the children that you've treated and worked with. And then, you know, it's been a huge impact in with John Alex. But that kind of started our stories are intertwined right there as well, because, you know, when John Alex was right about a year age, right about the time you started working with him, I'll never forget Janet Green, the vision therapist, came in and she was like, "I've heard about this diet, this gluten-free, casein-free diet." And she brought me an article in a magazine, and I was like, I need to add one more thing, you know, to my list of things I'm doing. But something told me, pulling me to do it. And a long story, I tried it, I gave up, and then I tried it again. I knew something happened that I knew this is what we're supposed to do. And we changed John Alex's diet. We took him off gluten, off dairy, took him off processed foods. And when we did that, within 3 days, he turned to his name for the very first time, and he had never done that. He just started waking up. He came out of the fog. He started waking up. Now, there are some children it's not as effective with. But so, but you started down the path of seeing diet things. Based on working with John Alex. So share a little bit about that.
So you were the first family I ever worked with that did it. And I think I was probably pretty new to even hearing about it at the time. I mean, we're talking over 20 years ago.
Internet was not a thing. You know, there was no Dr. Google.
there wasn't gluten-free, casein-free at the store.
No, nothing. You had I had to read nutrition labels. Exactly. I was having, like, I was having to do it all from scratch.
There were no special diet. I think there was a special diet handbook I still have in the clinic today. I remember it was red and white. But it was, you know, it was not well known. And so when I had Leah, my second child, she had severe sensory issues, and I tried every sensory thing in the world, and it would work for about an hour or two. She would calm down, but then it'd come right back, and she had to be held. I remember doing Rising Above Children's Museum ministry, having to hold her constantly the whole time, because in a public place, she could not be set down. And so about 2 years old, we were at her birthday party at the YMCA, I'll never forget, and she started hitting her ears, and she started screaming when everyone looked at her and saying, "Happy birthday." And I thought, oh my goodness. And basically, she couldn't even enjoy her second birthday party, and I thought, it's time to do something. And I thought, instead of going to Vanderbilt and getting an evaluation, seeing if she has autism, maybe I should just try the special diet that Becky does. And I did.
She's crazy, but I'm going to try it.
And I did. And I have a picture of her accepting a kiss from Ella for the first time, which was Easter. And her birthday was in December. Yeah. And I use that in lectures now when I talk about trying casein gluten-free. Just try it.
You never know what might happen. Yeah.
Because she was a different child. She stopped crying. Her ear infection stopped. She had a runny nose all the time. That stopped. She had constipation. That stopped. Eczema went away. All her sensory issues got to the point where I could treat them. And what I did to treat it, sensory-wise, would work for the whole day instead of just an hour or two. And she was a different child.
Yeah.
And I'm forever grateful because I really think that she would have had a diagnosis of high-functioning autism. Mm-hmm. Very easily, obsessive compulsive issues, a lot anxiety probably if I wouldn't have taken her off of dairy when she was young.
And it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, I say that we've been doing it now for 21 years. It's all that we know.
But it's a lot easier now. There's so many resources.
There are so many resources. And
milk alternatives are everywhere now. We had to go to Whole Foods to get them before.
For years and years. And now Kroger or wherever, you know, has them. And I often say to parents a lot of times, especially if a child's a little bit older, already started school. Yes, it's going to be, it's not going to be an easy thing to just go, okay, we're going to go switch this and your child's going to agree and go forward.
Right.
But for some children, this really can be a game changer.
Absolutely.
For them. And so it's sometimes worth a try
And I've always heard it takes 3 months. And I do have a lot of families that say, we tried it for a week or two. Well, we saw dramatic results in a few weeks, but I do know many children who it took 3 months for that blood to renew and get all the good nutrition coming back to the brain and the gut to heal takes some time.
It does. It takes some time. So that was kind of another way, though, that our stories interacted. But another way that our story has come together in such a beautiful way was back in 2005. When we started Rising Above Ministries, and you and Jason were one of the founding families with us as we started Rising Above. And I can still see us sitting in my living room, you know, sitting at my house and like just, we had no clue. You know, if you think about it, we had no clue what Rising Above was going to look like.
And God has taken it so far. That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was just three couples.
Right.
And we were like, you know, we need a place for special needs families to be able to come together and have community. And we honestly, I don't think we really weren't, even really sure what it was going to look like.
We didn't know who'd show up.
We didn't know who was going to show up. We didn't know.
There was no social media to advertise.
Exactly.
I don't even know. How did we advertise?
Well, we just started sending emails out to people that we knew. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, we did our very first worship service in October of 2005 for special needs families. And, you know, I remember us meeting and talking about what it was going to look like and what we were going to do. And again, we thought, who's going to show up? And then they showed up.
We had at least, I think, 8 to 10 families there.
That very first night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so out of that, then, you know, we added the egg hunt. And again, that very first egg hunt, we were like, who's going to come? And then the park was full, packed. And then the next big event that we added was the one that this was your idea.
Heroes Ball.
The Heroes Ball. And if anybody's been to the Heroes Ball, you can thank Heidi because Heidi, this was your brainchild. And tell us the background story as where we got here, because not everybody knows. You know, people know especially if you're local or you know about Rising Above, you've heard us talk about the Heroes Ball. But tell the backstory of how we got here.
So I remember at that time it was a big deal. You know, you go to the father-daughter dance.
Right.
And you go to the mother-son dance. And I thought, well, where do these special needs families get to go? Where's their dinner and dance? And
because J.A. and I couldn't go to the mother-son thing. Right. That's just not going to fly.
You want to be with your community, with your people. And so I said, why don't we do a Heroes Ball? And then I think one of the first things we said we were going to do is have a red carpet. And that red carpet is still in use.
We still
use it. I remember getting
it.
That red carpet, getting help from people that are still involved, and getting it, and people walking down that red carpet for the first time was the most beautiful thing ever.
It was such a fun event, and just, you know, seeing families loved and celebrated for the heroes that they are. And so thank you
for an honor
for creating that and being a part of that. And, you know, and back in the early days, you led the children's, all the children's classes that we did and have just been such an important part. And what I think is so cool now is that now your whole family comes and volunteers together.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you're still apart.
Ella taught classes there for a while when she was available. She's too busy now. Yeah. But probably from age 12 to 14, she was teaching the girls' classes, which I thought was cool because she was their peer. And, it was great as a mom to see her come in and do that. And, of course, Leah was always there helping Ella.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's wonderful to come back as a family and volunteer. It'll always be our number one volunteer place to be.
So we're so grateful. But I think it was just so interesting how God brought us together all those years ago out of the life of this one little boy,
right?
You know, with profound special needs, and how just over these past 22 years, 21 years, I guess I would say, just our stories have been interwoven in different ways. And, you know, we're not together as much as I don't see you as often as I do, but I always know I can pick up the phone.
Absolutely.
Hey, Heidi, what do I do about this? What's going on here?
Yes.
And, but so as an occupational therapist, why would you tell a family they need to be a part of Rising Above? What have you seen from the families that you serve as a therapist? And then those who come to Rising Above and find community with other families.
Right.
Share your heart behind that.
Well, even with social media and everything out there, you can Google anything. There's nothing like having that personal relationship.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing like being around other families at an event that's so much fun. And seeing those that are of your kind, those that get it, as you say often.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so important to come to events. The first time's going to be a little different, but you're going to walk in the doors and you're going to feel accepted and loved right away. And that's a vital part of your new life. This is what your new life looks like.
Your new normal, as we say it.
And I think that's very important because you can't have the excuse, I'm going to stay at home and not go to an egg hunt because my child has special needs. No, you're going to come to the Rising Above egg hunt. And you're going to have the best egg hunt there is in the county. And wherever your Rising Above may be. And so you go and be a part of that, and you'll never regret it.
And do you see a difference in the families that you serve and work with, where they have that sense of community, whether
Absolutely.
It be through church or whether it be through Rising Above or other...
Right.
Do you see a difference in how they handle the special needs life?
Yes. I feel like they have more joy. They have more just things to do in life that they feel like are their things. You know, this is what we do together as a family. And that's so important because you can't just sit at home and hide out.
Right.
You need to have your people, your things that you do together as a family. And so it brings them more joy. It gives them things to look forward to. I have kids who are older in therapy, and we work on calendar skills. You know, how many sleeps until the hero's ball?
Right.
How many sleeps until? And it's important to these children.
Right.
It is so important to them that they know this is coming up. I get to go to this event.
Well, it's such a great thing what you do and how you have given up your life to serve the special needs community. I mean, it's been a part, like you said, even from your early days when your dad became disabled, all the way through now through your adult life, loving and serving individuals with special needs. And I'm so grateful that God brought our stories together.
And we moved to Cookeville.
That you moved to Cookeville because when you started, you were in another town.
We were in Minnville, and God kept pushing us to Cookeville. And then finally, we didn't really have a choice. That was the only jobs we had.
Yeah.
And it was just the best decision we ever made to come to Cookeville and help start Rising Above. And you know, it's just great.
Well, we're thankful. And, you know, we close out every podcast by sharing the one thing. So I want to ask you, what is the one thing that you want parents who've just received a diagnosis that their child is, you know, has special needs, has sensory issues, has whatever diagnosis they have, what is the one thing you want those parents to hear from you as an occupational therapist?
As an occupational therapist, I feel like the best thing you can do is know that the therapists that are helping you and your child want to help. Don't be afraid to say, I need this, or what do I do about this? And don't ever say, I'm bothering you, I know. No, we become therapists because we want to help others. We become therapists because we love working with special needs. And we love helping. And that is a common thread, whether you're an adult therapist or child therapist. you love helping others. So don't be afraid to ask our opinion, ask what we can do to help. And we want to help as much as possible. And just know that you're not bothering us ever. We love it.
well, that is great advice for families who are starting out on this journey, and something that we all need to know. You know, that's okay. Don't be afraid to ask for that help, and or if you have questions, to know that, that there are people out there who truly do see you and care about your family, or you wouldn't be doing what you do.
Exactly. That's why we get up every morning.
Well, thank you so much for having this conversation with me and sharing your heart. I learned some new things about your story that I didn't even know about how you got started. And so I just thank you for what you do for our community and the love that you have for special needs families. So thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.